WWJD is an acronym we see pasted on car bumpers and threaded into bracelets. And although What Would Jesus Do is commonly associated with contemporary evangelical Christians, the phrase came out of the social gospel movement in 1893, from a book by Charles Sheldon, a small-town preacher living in Kansas.
Suppose Jesus walked down the center aisle of our church next Sunday morning and showed up in the flesh. It's a haunting figure. It is a powerful figure. And Sheldon, you know, who was no literary master, genius, caught it. He got it. It's a transforming question, if you let it loose. And then to see how it's been harnessed now to a completely perverse end would make you weep.
That's John Caputo, a retired theologian from Syracuse University. The first chapter of his book, What Would Jesus Deconstruct, delves into this little-known history of WWJD. But where did this phrase originally come from?
Everything I've been able to find out about it says that it goes back to this book that Charles Sheldon wrote called In His Steps. And then the subtitle was What Would Jesus Do? And Sheldon was a pastor back in the 19th century, turn of the century, Topeka, Kansas. He actually was giving a series of sermons, and he sort of anticipated the contemporary TV format, you know, of having cliffhanging chapters. TV shows will have cliffhangers at the end of each episode to bring you back the following week. So he decided that this was a good way to get his congregation back in church the following week.
And so the phrase, What Would Jesus Do, comes about in Sheldon's first chapter in the context of a story about a destitute man who has lost it all, friends, family, home, and job.
The scene shifts to the Sunday morning in church, and beautiful music has just concluded, and the pastor is about to begin his sermon, and this man comes into the church and comes down the center of the aisle and to the shock of everyone around him, and announces that he's been seeking help all week, and he tells this sad story. And the pastor's sermon is on a passage from 1 Peter. The gospel refers to walking in his steps. The homeless man says, "This way you've treated me, this reception you've given me in this town, I don't know if there's where it's coming from, and I don't know what has led you all to treat me like this." And he concludes by saying, "What would Jesus do if I came visiting?" But it appeared in, I think it was 1893, so it sold, you know, I saw one figure, 30 million copies at one point, and had a gave tremendous impulse to the social gospel movement. Because if you go back and looked at what the answer to the question was, well, in each case it turned out to be, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. So The whole thrust of the "What Would Jesus Do?" question was exactly the opposite of what it's come to mean. Because now it's come to be a slogan for the Christian right. So the book tended to disappear, but the slogan had magic to it. You know, the question is a good question. And it's an open-ended question. There isn't any answer to it that you can derive. You know, there's no provable response because, as you know, you can use the scriptures to say an awful lot of things. And he was a really advanced thinker, I think, in many ways, because on the one hand, he was talking about personal morality. And he was saying, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're responsible for your alcoholism. But in addition to that, he was also saying these are structural matters. This is not simply a matter of a personal change of heart. This has to do with the way the society is structured and the way capitalism works. But the bracelets and T-shirts are just, you know, that's sort of the final degradation of something which is actually quite a good question.
Right, and it's a degradation because it kind of simplifies the idea, or why do you see it as a degradation?
Well, because the first thing is that it becomes a stick with which to hit others. You know, the question's always directed at somebody else, and you're always using it as a way to beat others over the head with a pre-given political agenda. So you take the teeth out of the question by directing it at other people. In the Sheldon novel, the question has teeth because it's directed at yourself. And so the best way to translate Christianity into action, to see what drives it, to put your heart on its pulse, is this question. I mean, it's like the soul of Christianity. What is Christianity if it's not the memory of Jesus and the promise of Jesus?
John D. Caputo is Professor Emeritus of Religion at Syracuse University. His latest book is What Would Jesus Deconstruct? Hear more about the social gospel movement in our show, Occupying the Gospel, with Paul Rauschenbusch at onbeing.org.